Episode commencing in 3, 2, 1. Episode initiated.
Welcome to the systems of the Commonwealth as we jump aboard an AI starship Ascendant as we span three galaxies on this week's Cosmic Andromeda Adventure. This is your GM and captain of the ship here, Kevin Sorbo, a.k.a. the true villain of all things science fiction. Joining me in uniting the system once more are my five friends and your shipmates. To my far left, it's the ship's doctor. It's Trans-Jabert, jabbering away as Jamfram.
Hey, hey.
Across the digital table from me, science officer and local ordained reverend, it's Miles, make him believe it's redacted.
Good evening.
To my right, weapons officer and tough guy, why it's Tyler talking as Pradier.
Hello there.
To my immediate left, chief engineer of the ship, we've got Drew Dunn play Zelazny Zilixthel.
When it comes to Kevin Sorbo, I'm disappointed.
Okay, and across from him, captain of the Eureka Maru, it's none other than Rebecca rolling with Asher and Sky.
Hello.
What's your character name? Becca on that show. Never seen really? An episode. Yeah, not a fan of that one either. I've been, I guess, behind on, I guess that's 2000s, but late 90s, early 2000s sci-fi. Never seen a single episode. I'm sure you guys are all super Andromeda fans.
Never saw a single episode either.
Yeah,
but never really interested.
It was based on
the works of Gene Roddenberry.
Yeah, like an unproduced idea that he had. And there's a lot of buzz, I feel like, around it, because I think people were kind of getting a little sick of Star Trek at the time. But then this came out. It's like, oh, Star Trek's still so much better. Never mind. Yeah.
This is one of those things that was in like the Xena and Hercules, like straight to syndication deals. Mm-hmm. It's one of those shows like Cleopatra 2099 or whatever that show was called.
Believe it or not, not one I'm doing the intro for. I think I toyed with the idea, but I was like, no one's going to know what that is.
I do.
And I didn't get any reaction to my little intro bit there. Do y'all know the Kevin Sorbo meme with this? Am I alone in this?
I've seen the episode of Hercules. Yes.
Yep. Oh, so it's just funny. That's cool. All right. We'll move on. Well,
not funny.
yeah, we're all disappointed in that joke.
To be fair to you, Zoom cut you out pretty hard for me, so it didn't land. It didn't land.
I promise you, it didn't land.
Yeah, Drew, dial it back 20% and try it again. Go ahead.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
You got it. You got it.
When it comes to the reaction to this joke, I'm disappointed.
There you go. Yeah, it's one thing we have to realize that Zoom doesn't want us to scream at each other.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Or it doesn't like me making weird chittering alien bug noises, you know, like really high pitched stuff. It's like, you want us to cut this out, right? You don't want to
fix your microphone, bro. Something's going on.
Yeah.
You didn't want to say it like that.
You guys ready to get back into the Starfinder adventure this week?
Yep.
Sure.
Too bad, because we got to do last time on everyone's favorite part of this show. Last time on Cosmic Crit, you guys went to Colony 1 in Greymore to listen to Dr. Jan Vaughn give a lecture called Study of Irregular Asteroid Dynamics and convince her to work for Viridian's Project Sharpwing. After gaining her confidence, Dr. Vaughn asked you to help rescue her friend Rando Bitta from Vesk pirates in a cabin in the woods. Arriving there and knocking on the door sent three Vesk and two feathered ring crotas attacking you, but you all dispatched them with ease. Oh, what's wrong with that last time on, if anything? A lot of silence here. I realize. Also, Tyler dropped from the Zoom call. So you guys are down a person. We talked bad about Zoom once and we get
I want to say I made a joke about it, about the Alan Parsons project. I think it's Operation Sharpwing and not Project Sharpwing.
That is correct. Operation.
Yeah.
Does anybody else have another? Go for it, Miles. You seem to be thinking about it pretty hard.
Were they Vesk pirates?
I don't know. Do you have an answer? Correction?
No, I don't.
Oh, Rebecca, anything? Doesn't look like it.
Sorry, I had to take care of a cat knocking stuff over.
We're scattered to the wind this.
No, it was best. I mean, I wouldn't say we took him out with ease. I thought we got kind of hurt.
I mean, you took out.
I feel like that wasn't the name of the lecture, but I have no idea what it would have been called.
Incorrect. That was the actual name.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Study of irregular asteroid dynamics. All
so
right.
The name I have written down for the friend is not Rando Bitta, but I also have a question mark next to what I wrote down. So
what's the friend's name that you have written down?
I wrote down, let me see if I can read my handwriting. It says Virinabada. Vinabada? I don't know. It's a bunch of squiggles.
Bunch of letters.
Squiggles. I will say the name is incorrect, so I'll give you a half point there. Sure. For sure.
Virinabada, maybe? Is that no?
I'll give you one more guess, and I'll tell you that I switched two letters in the name of Rando Bitta. Rando Bitta. Believe it or not, her name is not Rando.
Tyler, do you got anything?
Yeah, Tyler, are you back with us?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, Zoom is actually saying that it is the is not responding. And obviously, my video isn't showing up, at least on my end. So everything's a mess over here. Their name is Rindo Bata.
All right. I'll allow you guys to team up on that one. And Tyler, if you have another one, you'll earn these folks and yourself the episode reroll. Do you have another thing that's wrong? We've already gotten that it was indeed Operation Sharpwing, not Project Sharpwing.
Oh, they weren't Vesk pirates. They were Vesk mercenaries.
I'll allow it.
That is correct. I knew it was something with that.
Yeah, very different breed, pirates and mercenaries.
Mercenaries do not require a ship at all. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing's wrong. The colony in Greymoor is called Campus One. That's a little confusing. Not Colony One. And they were Whiskered Ring Prota, not Feathered Ring Prota. How dare you guys think I would throw Feathered Ring Prota at you? I'm not a monster. I don't remember if Feather the extinct ones, the nearly extinct ones. Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. Okay. Alrighty.
Do we need to pause so Tyler can restart or whatever he's going to do?
Do you need to, Tyler?
Yeah, let me pop out of Zoom and pop back in real quick.
Okay.
If the program allows me to.
All right. Alrighty, we are back and everyone's got, the party has earned one episode reroll. This week's episode starts a month later after the securing of Dr. Jan Vaughn. And we're in full montage mode as we see engineers from all over New Galerion coming into Site A, along with several ships worth of cargo and laborers. Construction of the launch facility begins, takes a long time, and you guys can monitor its progress while also maintaining your colonial duties. And as we get closer to setting up some launch dates, we get a look at the newly built command center of Viridian Testing Site A. And inside we see teams of experienced engineers, construction team members here on the launch pad and still setting up computer monitors and things like that. In the control room is Kels Deirdre, Melidia Krenth, Gadam Neldener, a whole bunch of folks from the colony that are working on various computer consoles. And Dr. Jan Vaughn is conferring with her team of scientists, as well as Ezra and Shand, who eventually there's both a Kasothan and a Sheeran that comes up to you all. And the Kasothan says, "Oh, we have yet to meet. My name is Maida Lee Zaktar. I'm site supervisor here at Operation Sharpwing. And this is the site safety inspector, Kilka Nikto. If we could have a moment of your time."
Wait, sorry. Is there a new Ezrand other than Ezrand Shire?
No.
Oh, okay.
He's here too.
So is there an Ezrand Shand and an Ezrand Shire?
No, if I said Shand, don't write that down because that's not going to be on the last time on.
Oh, dang it.
I thought I caught one. I thought I caught a good one.
An early one. Oh, you, it is, you met his cousin, eh?
Yeah. It is nice to meet you. We have time. What do you need us for?
Well, it looks like the teams have finished the launch tower's base and work is proceeding as planned. Jan is hopeful that her calculations for the satellite will be finished in time for launch. If you can all look over the data of her projected numbers here for the windows, we can begin to schedule out, perhaps in a few months, the time for our first satellite's launch.
If you guys want to make a physical science or computers check, they have both, you know, kind of weather data and things like that, as well as kind of gravitational data as well for a launch window for, you know, a whole bunch of satellites. This is not just one launch. It'll take several.
Okay, he got a good roll.
Two. Rebecca, two. And two natural 20s here. Why do you guys even need episode rerolls? Yeah, everything looks to be in order. It looks like if everything goes to plan in 2 months' time, like the first satellite will be up in the air. As you guys are pouring over the data here, though, suddenly there's a klaxon that sounds across the facility, followed by sounds of panic shouting from workers. As you see at the launch tower's base, there's these thin tendrils of dark smoke that begins to rise up. Antennas vibrate in alarm as he says, "Hylax, no!" He brings up a feed of the tower on his data pad and shows it to you all. He says,
"It looks like one of the auto assemblers. No, two of the auto assemblers. They've gone berserk or something. It's taking the elevator platform apart, and it looks like people are hurt down there."
Ezran Shand Shire, Shand is his middle name, comes up and puts a hand on Kilka's shoulder. It's like, "Don't you worry. These robots picked the wrong day to malfunction. Bradier here's really great at scanning robot minds. Are you guys all ready to get your hands dirty? Maybe go decommission those bots?"
I'm actually going to stay up here and monitor the situation. As the leader, I feel like I should be in a central surveillance role.
Perfect. You can get out your sniper rifle and take pot shots from afar. That's something that you have, right?
I think I might have left it in Redacted's vehicle.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, these guys will take care of it. We'll keep monitoring the situation from up here. Good luck.
Whee!
We fast forward down to the launch basin here, where as you creak open past the security gates, you hear huge mechanized as two large lifter and loader bots seem to be moving on their own here. And you see what looks like a couple of Ahsoki and a human looking person on the ground. Two of them kind of shaking in fear. And one of them unconscious, bleeding out. Let me take you to a map and show you what you see. Let's roll into initiative turn order. Yeah, we're starting pretty close to the beginning of the episode with a big old combat.
It's some sort of a robot.
Tyler ate too good last week with enemies with brains, so now is robot time.
We're back, baby.
Welcome to the suck.
And just to make sure we felt like we were back, I rolled a natural one on initiative.
Not too far behind you, bud.
Oh, goodness.
None of us have rolled particularly well.
All right.
No, Asher and Sky has rolled very well, Drew. I don't know what you're talking about, but yeah, everyone else, it's
I rolled after he said that.
It's rough. Okay, good. That makes more sense. Makes a lot of sense.
Hey, Patrick, are you okay with, on the way down, Prater casting three spells?
Three spells? Yeah, what do you got?
Life Force Reservoir, Mind of Three, and Communal Bond.
Yeah, man, go crazy, go nuts. I want you to feel as powerful as you can in this fight.
Thank you.
I need to do some math, because I
rolled
well on the initiative.
I hope you're ready for support team Praetir.
Boy, that's what I live for.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
Okay.
Fun.
All right. These two things kind of turn around. They're kind of rooted and attached via wires and things to the rest of the structure here. Doesn't look like they could get very far as they don't really have their own super duper power source. These are part of the facility. They're not like really autonomous, complete robots. They came in just like a week or so ago and were here to auto-assemble parts of the structure. But that being said, they are attached with like giant Gatling gun like riveting devices on one of their arms, and each of them, as they see you kind of coming around the corner here, opens up with a volley of white hot rivet blasts. So can everyone make me two reflex saves? Try to get them right there in order. We are looking for a DC 18.
Great.
Fail. Hey, one person said fail.
I'm gonna fail.
Okay. Ooh. All right. We've got what, 2 out of 10 saves here? Is that right? Oh, we're starting off with a lot of damage. Oh no.
Hey, 2 saves.
Oh, Jamfram's great.
Okay. Yeah, these are saves for half. So it's half damage. And yeah, I'm pretty sure these are like explosive blasts. I think they can hit
everybody. I am so sorry to ask this. Am I at full health?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's been like a month. So,
okay.
Unless you had some other like side activities that would cause you to go down. Sorry, I only mentioned that once in the intro here. Okay. The first round of damage is 33 points of piercing and fire. So half and half. You have resistances. And the second blast, 35. So 68 in total.
Jeez.
All right.
What?
Praetir is throwing up in the corner.
Hold on. 68?
Yeah, it looks like it.
Okay, what's
this,
happened?
This doesn't seem right.
That is.
We just double check it is indeed 60-10. This. Yep.
Wow. Half of 33 is 18.
God, you almost
16.
16.
Okay, so Asher's bloodied.
Welcome to the suck.
Yeah, forget bloodied. Praetir is. You nearly one shot me.
Yeah. All right. Asher and Sky, you are up next.
Okay. What shot at us?
These. I'll increase the art
robot
here.
You can
take a look. Yeah. These autonomous loaders. They look like they are kind of part of the facility themselves because they are wired in. So, like, maybe they're part that they don't have like their own consciousness. They're kind of programmed by the control center, but maybe somehow have gone off their programming, seem to be disassembling everything, including you heroes. Disassembling you from being alive. Do you want to make an engineering check? See what you know about them.
Yeah. Is there a way to disable them? That's what I really want to know.
Yes. So maybe you've seen specs on this before, because they've been used in Viridian and other places as well. It is kind of like a trap more than creatures. You can't attack these things. They have hardness and they have hit points, so you can just beat the heck out of them. But you can also, if you get up close enough to them, you can pull the back panel off and make an engineering check to shut them down. And you can also, if you have the capability to do so, hack them. It could be hacked in a round. I think only Redacted would be able to do that with a wireless hack, but yes. So,
but if I got close enough, I could hack. I would just have to be on them.
Yeah, so I mean, if you get close enough to one of them, you can make an engineering check as a standard action to open the panel, and then it's a second engineering check to basically just manually shut them down.
Does that mean I couldn't do that all in one turn?
That is correct.
Okay. All right.
Which, and you guys can move closer to these like front gates here if you need to. What would you like to do first? I don't want your movement talk. And I should also mention, like I said, there's two Isoki that look like they're down on the ground, kind of stunned in place as these things are attacking you. And then a body over here to the left that looks like he's taken some damage, or they have taken some damage.
I think you said shields.
Do they look like enemies of ours, or?
Nope, they're not sure. Workers, construction workers here.
Okay, so they just got one-shotted by robots the same way we did.
I would guess so. At least this one that's taken some damage has got like a head wound.
Okay, I don't love getting this close to a robot, but I don't see an alternative really. So I guess Asher will move here. Can I move there and try to get to their back panel? I don't know where I need to be positioned.
Yeah, make another engineering check for me.
29. Gosh.
Yeah, but maybe you won't believe me, but the DC is exactly... Oh, no, it's 25 to open the panel. So that is a success. So I will mark that kind of on this guy. Panel open on the one on the bottom of your screen. Jamfram is next. But both Jamfram and Zilix have got a 9 here. It's way down on the initiative turn order from the top.
Well, good news. Good news. My sword also has the penetrating feature. So treats hardness like it's, I think, my level less, I think.
Nice.
I'm going to confirm that.
Want to go slashing up this bot?
Jabir, can you eat your microphone just a little bit more?
Sure.
Oh, goodness. Hello.
Equal to the items, to the weapons level, which is 8. So.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah. So 8 hardness. So I'm gonna rush at, let's see, I guess I'm closest to that one down there, but
real estate. You can take anyone's space here. Like I said, I just have dropped you guys randomly.
Yeah.
in this arena, if you want to take Zilix's spot or what have you.
I have to look something up. Yeah, no. Nope. Can't reach anybody. So
what's your movement?
25 feet. Same as it's been for the last year. So,
well, like I said, if you want to take like Zilix's spot instead.
Yeah, that's still not close enough. I was doing that run as well. So.
Is there a charge in your future?
I mean, presumably there is. just what I needed versus these monstrous things that do 68 damage in one round.
It's a good thing you got a healer on your guys' team.
Yeah. Yeah. Great.
If it makes you feel better, their attack is also way huge. So,
oh, good. Well, thank you.
I'll tell you that
make me feel better.
If that too makes a big difference here. Right. So charging up to the one to the north.
Okay. So -2, 25 to hit.
Hit.
All right. For 25 points of damage.
Okay. The vast majority of that is getting through here as you just slice right through steel like it wasn't even there. It looks very chonky though. It looks like you're gonna have to chop off a couple of this thing's legs or arms before it will kind of go down.
Right, that's my turn.
Drew Zilixthel.
I was smart enough to have my gun out before this, right?
Yeah, I mean, you knew you were going into a pretty active battle.
Okay, I would like to switch all of my gun's damage type to electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to shoot the one, it's a swift action, it's Energized Swarm. And we're going to take 2 shots against the one that Jamfram is menacing.
Okay.
I'm not stupid anymore, right?
Once again, it's been a month.
If you have to ask.
A whole month. Oh, no.
That's a 10. That's going to do nothing.
I'm on the dice as a miss. Ugh. Episode reroll?
Well, let me see what the other one.
This early? Oh, man, it's also 2, a 9 on the second one. 2 very low damage rolls on these. Looking gross.
And that's it. That's all I got.
Okay, we're on to Redacted.
I can wireless hack, right? Wirelessly hack?
Yes, I'm not sure what the range is for mechanic, but pretty sure it's like at least 30 feet. You get remote hack at level 5. It has a range of... at this level 30 feet, I believe.
Oh.
Wait, what level are you guys? 7?
7.
Yeah, 30 feet at this level.
Okay. They're both gonna have an action. Alright, so Datid's gonna scoop up over here to the north and try to hack the one that Jamfram is hacking at.
Oh, you're both hacking, huh? Both hacking. Yeah. Okay. This is a computer check.
Okie dokie.
Ugh. Two on the dice. So to reroll or
reroll. Please. I can't have both of these things be alive.
Right. Yeah, I was about to say we're getting around to the end of the turn, which means they'll get to go again.
Yeah. We can use that to reroll. 26.
A lot better. Oh, that's not gonna be enough though.
All right. Book reroll.
I'll allow it if that's what you or it's a level reroll, but if you would like to use it, what do you rerolled here? 9? It's 50-50 chance. You do better, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. There we go.
Much good. Much better. You see Redacted furiously typing into a command console like on Redacted's wrist as this one goes down right before your eyes, Jamfram.
I look back over my shoulder and I give him a thumbs up.
I mean, you see like the metallic ace font that just says Hackerman.
He's got the weird sunglasses on and you're like right. Deedly,
deedly, deedly. No, suddenly it's and a 70s like font of scarf no and signal. A
thumbs up.
Yeah. Pradier, where are you? I just realized you rolled a 2 on initiative. Sorry to laugh, but did you roll a 1? Yeah, you rolled a 1, obviously. Yeah,
1.
Okay.
So I see some downed workers. Mm-hmm. Is there a...
These two in the back here look just kind of stunned. They're on the ground. They're still conscious. This one up to the north is unconscious and kind of has some wounds on them that you can see even from afar. Bloody forehead and work clothes.
Okay. Let's see. I'm gonna... Is anybody in the party in serious jeopardy of death besides the already dead guy?
I mean, I'm possibly hurting, but it's all stamina, so.
But all stamina. So it's probably just
HP. I'm an HP, baby.
I'm definitely an HP.
No,
I'm
I know you're bloody.
Less than half HP.
So Zilix and Jamfram, you guys probably just
Drew's lost a constitution class, right?
Yeah, that's why I'm
so it's us. It's the three bean poles of okay.
Bean poles of justice.
Probably okay. Prater's gonna go over to this. I wanna walk up to this person, see if I can save them, I guess. Maybe just a check to see if they need saving. If they're gonna, you know, if I got time.
You can, I mean, I imagine just stabilize them if you'd like.
I will just stabilize them then, yes.
Okay. All right, that'll take us to turn 2 and back to the remaining auto assemblers initiative count. You see it kind of winding up its melee arm to strike at Asher and Sky, trying to like pull Asher Sky off of its back, you know, where you've already opened up the panel. So this is going to be melee attack. It's Asher. Okay, super hit. 19 on the dice. Nothing special for that. Just a ton of damage coming your way, obviously. Ton of damage. Mm-hmm.
Damage, my only weakness.
Oh, 27. Pretty low roll on 5.
And Asher 12. Is very much dead. So good job.
Oh, thank you.
No.
Well, Asher is
20 hit points.
Oh, okay. Well, then I feel pretty good. Asher is on the ground, dying as we go. Excellent turn order. Oh, well.
That's why I cast Life Force Reservoir. Oh. As a reaction, if a creature nearby me goes into dying, I can release Life Force Reservoir to heal 48 immediately.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dang.
Look at this guy using spells that aren't mind affecting. Look at him go.
I'm amazing.
Yeah, it's less an hour per level or until discharged.
That's why I tend to just throw it up whenever I think we're going to be in any kind of trouble. And this seemed like a reasonable amount of trouble. So it's still me. So I rolled low on 4d8. But, you know, you're still up. You're going. You got 9 hit points.
Okay.
Don't give up yet.
Rebecca, it is your turn. You go down.
I have 9 HP.
You go down, then you come back up with a little bit of HP, but you can move. And if you want to try another engineering check to shut this guy down, you can. This one is a little harder. So
I'm going to do it.
Okay. You see
Asher. See how this goes.
Believe in the heart of the dice.
Jump back up after getting healed and start pulling wires out. There's electrical sparks as she fails to shut down the robot.
No. Oh, no.
Man.
Oh, that for no. nothing.
She pulled out all the wires that governed its safety features. It's even more powerful now.
All right.
Level reroll, Rebecca. You've already used one this fight.
Yeah, and can I? I mean, do I have one to spend?
You guys are level 7 right now, right?
Yes.
I mean...
Yes. I think only Miles has, and he only used it just now.
I'll
use it. I used mine because I almost never use my rerolls, it feels like, so...
Yeah, I appreciate it. All right, go for it.
I rolled an 8.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Natural 1.
Womp, I hate to see it.
Is it going to blow up on me?
Oh, it's probably going to kill you, yeah. James, from it's your turn.
Love this game. Love it. So
it's a peach.
I'm going to move in and challenge this creature. So I move and I make an attack and
super hit.
It's one of them super hits. So severe wound is my critical effect on this.
I think you can severe wound robots.
Can you?
Yeah. I think you can. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay.
I imagine if it's like bleeding, that won't do anything, but.
Yeah, they might. I think they might be immune to bleed, but let's go see. It's either bleed or it's
13 eye sensor.
Right now. Oh, -2 to perception.
You bust one of its like several sensors with this. No, attack.
only if it doesn't make a reflex save. Oh, no, you wouldn't want to get -2 to perception without a reflex save.
Does not make it, I don't think. I don't even know if I have bonuses for them.
Okay. All right, cool. So yeah, so don't try looking for stuff.
Don't you dare.
Yeah. All righty.
Anyway, it was 24 points of damage.
Yes, I've got those marked down. Bruise. It looks and,
oh, wait one second. Oh. Intimidate. Oh, 24. No, probably not.
I think it's a success.
I think it's.
Oh, wait, no. Oh,
yeah, I think it's like
these are,
plus their CR or something.
These are much harder than I thought it was. I made this fight way too hard. Yes, that is not a success. Zilix style, Drew.
Nope, Jamfram's there to draw attention. So I'm going to shoot it twice.
Oh, 15 times 1.5. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 15. Still no, nothing close, I'm sure.
No, it looks like we need a 27. CR 8.
Do I get any bonuses for you menacing
them? Yes. You get a +1 from you standing next to him.
It's a 13. I don't think that's going to do anything.
No.
You have a episode reroll if you want it.
No, we've already used the episode reroll.
I used it.
Sorry.
So it's still not making any headway on this monster.
I should just shoot one.
This robot. Redacted. Can you shut down another bot?
I don't know. It took me 3 times last time. But let's
I was
see.
About to say, well, you have a couple of venues. You can remote hack it, or you can go to the panel that Asher and Sky has removed for an engineering check. I don't know which is better for you.
They're about the same.
Okay. Then I would recommend trying the remote hack again.
Yeah.
You can only do one per turn, and it 32. Doesn't matter. That is enough. We're out of combat. Engineer in the party shutting down. These robots.
Hackerman.
For half of our other teams in this podcast, this would have been a much easier fight than it was for us only having one engineer this time.
I'm an engineer too.
I was about to say, Rebecca's got a great engineer.
I just screwed up several times. So, you know, it hurts when you don't roll well.
It happens. You save the lives of the three workers here. They thank you. Profusely, a female Ahsoki named Not Not, Ran, a non-binary human, and Vigo, a male Ahsoki, are here, and they thank you very much. But what do you guys want to do? We're out of combat.
Heal. I would like to heal.
10-minute rest, baby.
Yeah,
perfect.
Hey, I'm in dire HP damage, but I will also take.
I only have 10. A limited number of spells, but sure, hold on. And while you're taking 10, Praetor will just like, this is so silly. One of the healing things you get as a mystic is healing touch. And it says once per day, you can spend 10 minutes to magically heal an ally up to 5 points per mystic level. And it's called healing touch. So I envision it as I just have to have my hand on you for 10 entire minutes.
It's a massage. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, so work those muscles.
But you know, 7 times 5, that's not nothing. So you get for a 10-minute touchdown, you get 35 hit points.
Don't call it that.
A touchdown.
Don't call it that. That's a terrible name. That's maybe the worst thing you've ever named anything.
Do you go in for the extra point, Tyler?
I'm including calling the ship Peridot.
I wasn't me.
Oh man, we could have gone a whole episode without referencing the ship.
Don't rewrite history. I had nothing to do with that.
You opened the floodgates on that one, Drew. It's coming back.
Rebecca, how is Ashran Sky after 35 hit points?
I'm pretty good. I'm 44 out of 46.
Okay, you're good. Redacted.
Yeah.
You're going to get just a standard mystic cure. I mean, it's a level 2, but...
Yeah, we don't have to worry too much about healing, but if you guys are taking a 10-minute rest, Dr. Jan Vaughn and the Sheeran safety officer, Kilka? Yes, Kilka, will come down and says, I don't know how this could have happened. What was wrong with these robots? Can you figure it out?
I guess Redacted could try to figure it out. Tyler, how much do I get?
Does anybody want to aid Redacted on a computer's check to...
I can aid.
Look into the code.
I will likely need it because I've rolled twice well, so that means I'm bound to lose soon.
I rolled a 20.
Yeah, of course. Another natural 20 from Rebecca. Drew, do you have does Zell accept computers? I feel like that's one you said you did.
No?
I don't. Okay. That's the one you don't have.
If you remember the ship rolls conversation from last week, about the only thing I could do there is shoot a gun.
No, for a fact, I don't remember that. That is a success. You guys find what looks like malicious virus malware that was downloaded into this auto assembler weeks ago, before it even arrived on site, and seemed to have like a timer trigger for when it would kind of infect these models, something that you can scan for perhaps in future ones. But it looks like indeed there was a little bit of tampering, a little bit of sabotage perhaps of these units.
Boy, this is really getting, if I may overextend my opinion here, this is getting very old hat. I cannot believe I'm about to say this, but I cannot wait for the spy satellites to be in place so that we can end this annoyance.
I was about to say, we haven't yet determined if there is still a mole within your party. Perhaps one of those someone here with computers capabilities, who could it be, is the one responsible for this. You'll never know. Maybe it was Praetor. Maybe Drew has been pretending doth protest too much that his character does not have computers. Maybe an alien takes over Jamfram's mind when he goes to bed, and that alien has computer skills. You wake up and it's like, why do I have carpal tunnel syndrome? Alien ghosts take possession of you. Right. So, things go back to normal on the construction schedule for Site A for the Operation Sharpwing, and we skip forward another month or so to when would be kind of getting closer to the first launch. It has been put off and delayed multiple times. You've gotten reports from the site that things have been progressing on schedule, but one day Ezra and Shire comes into the conference room back in Viridian and says, well, I've got something to show you all before you get to your normal duties here. I got this sent to me as a favor before it goes to air live tomorrow. So have a seat. Let me play this. He pops in a memory stick, and the raw footage seems to be before the fences at Site A outside of the facility where we see a news team assembling and a very young Bregnosian Willowanth, the eldest of the Willowanth farmer kids of Viridian, in very spiffy looking clothing, holding a microphone. And behind him, you see what looks like a few dozen workers with signs and placards walking around. He says, well, so we're ready. Oh, okay, here goes. Good evening. This is Bregnosius Willowanth reporting with Viridian One News here at the launch facility being built at the edges of the colonial states of Plostov and Viridian. It seems while this site has seen months of construction, our sources tell us that labor and engineering parties working on the project have unionized and are seeking to put a pause on construction without an agreement from management on how to best proceed. This top secret project, we've been told, is an important stepping stone in Viridian's development into space. And our sources in the colonial representation have reported that without a swift end to labor disputes, it's possible this project might lose its launch window dates as inclement weather rolls in later this year. This has been Bregnosian Willowanth. We'll keep you informed after we get an interview with the head of the union movement later this week. Bregnosian out! That's his.
You know, you all know my catchphrase. Bring no shit out.
Ezran pauses the playback and says, "Look, if we want to keep things on track, we're going to need you guys to get out there and maybe develop rapport with those folks. Kind of diffuse things before it boils over. After the slowdown caused by those hacked robots and pausing construction, we need to fix this union issue before we miss some of our launch windows." You all take the Peridot Peregrine down there and see if you can figure out what's what, okay?
Okie dokie.
Great ear, you sound like a plan?
I just have dealt with more union issues lately than I ever thought I would have to.
Hey, it's a living, you know? That's what they say, right? can't live with them, can't live without them. Do you guys have a plan? Anything you want to talk strategy before you head out? Any questions about the folks working down there?
Is it still considered inappropriate to just, you know, use mental magic to just force them to agree to a deal?
Yeah, they'll probably take issue to that unless you can wipe their minds, but you definitely can't do that, right? Right?
Prater just kind of is like staring off of the distance and he goes, oh, no.
Oh, okay. All right, because you lost your memory at one point, and I want to make sure that wasn't that you like spell backfire in or. All right, anyway, yeah, you're fine. Yeah, I wouldn't do that. You have such a gift to gab, Praetir. Maybe you should just do all the talking, but you know, yeah, redacted. There's engineers there that you can help out while these negotiations are going on. You don't have to be a part of them. You can probably just take 10 when they're in their discussions. Jamfer, maybe you too. I don't know. That, yeah. There have been some complaints redacted that let me just see the quote here. You've, quote, stared holes through the project manager there and made them feel like nothing. That is the quote. Okay.
Then it has been useful.
All right. Well, all right. Yeah. Unless you guys have any questions, get on down there. See if you can get a meeting with them today.
I seem to have nothing better to do. So on our way we go.
As you get back to the launch pad at Site A, you're met by Dr. Jan Vaughn, who ushers you into the elevator and says, well, welcome back, everyone.
Hello, Jan.
Hi. We've set up a conference room for you all to meet with the union representation. I've got a lot of work to do, but if you want me in the room with you, I can reassign some of my daily tasks here to an assistant and help you out there. But it's up to you. What do you think?
No, I need you to be focused. With the launch window getting tighter and tighter, I need you to focus on where you are best.
Okay, well, I need you guys to figure this out, because if we lose our first launch, it will have a cascading effect on the rest of them, and we might not be able to get all the satellites launched this year. So just do whatever they need you to do. I don't know. I don't know how you manage, but yeah, you guys... You all don't have to go down there if you don't want to chat. If anybody wants to just take some time off in the break room, we have coffee there. I'm just saying they might feel a little intimidated if all five of you go in there and bring your weapons. Maybe leave those behind. I'm not telling you how to do your job, but yeah, probably.
You wouldn't rob an undead man of his walking stick.
And then send that walking stick to his widow.
I don't think so, but yeah.
I literally can't get rid of my guns. They're just a part of me.
You guys all want to join in on these negotiations?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I'll eat donuts in the back room.
That's excellent. Hey, Jabert, you know what? If you want to eat donuts in real life, you go right ahead too.
Hey, yeah.
Give me special permission.
I'm not going to turn a deal like that down.
Nobody else is allowed to, though. Only Jabert. It's a form of special role playing. Yeah, when you get down to the meeting room, you see a number of figures that you've seen here at the site before, and one new one. But you see Kilka Nikto, the safety and kind of security officer, Maida Lee Zaktar, the Kasathan site manager, and Amale Asoki that you've not seen before, who introduces himself, comes over. He's a gray-furred Asoki with little glasses. Goes by the name of Gantry. He says, hello. It is nice to meet you. I'm sorry it is under these circumstances.
No, there's no need to apologize. These things happen as settlements advance.
Character art for all these characters. I shouldn't.
What a nerd. Holy shit. Never mind. I take back all my demeanor. My pleasantries.
Like so that's these three here.
A trio of nerds.
Yeah, so they get down to business and explain they all have a number of issues that kind of need to be dealt with before they feel that, you know, they can put all their teams back to work on completing this project. It's a fairly long list of, you know, pretty typical union organization demands, better pay, more reasonable working hours, better safety regulations. And each one of these three kind of represents one of those different aspects here. How would you guys like to go about these union negotiations? It's something we kind of skipped over in Plostov. I think there was like just straight up rules for having to navigate them. I saw ahead that they were also in this book. I was like, I'm not doing this twice. I'm not boring five players and audience members twice. So this is what we've saved before. You're squaring off against three union organizers here that really have this project's future in their hands. Do you have any questions for them?
Do I have any questions for the union organizers?
Supervisor made the security officer Kilka and chief engineer Gantry is who you're meeting with.
Ask him if he is or has ever been associated with the Communist Party.
Throw him in jail if he has. Blacklist him.
Dirty commies. I don't know. Anybody else can feel free to step in here. Well, I struggle to think of a competent question.
I'm eating donuts.
I mean, what are your demands, right?
Yeah, who are you asking? Do you want to ask one of these three, Rebecca?
The Asoki seem to be in charge, I guess.
They're all kind of equal footing on their teams. Gantry.
They are communists.
they all share equal responsibility to the motherland. Gantry says, yes, I would like to try and secure better wages for both engineers and construction workers. They have been working around the clock and some of them been put in fairly dangerous situations. We have assembled teams of the finest, the smartest individuals for this project. And if you would acquiesce to just across the board pay raises, I believe that will go very far into correcting what they have seen as underpayment for the last two months.
Asher turns to her group and says, that seems reasonable. Do we have a bookkeeper? Can we afford that?
Yeah, this is basically resource units that would have to be expended in addition to normal ones for your colony. You have them. It just means you wouldn't be able to do some other projects this month. For what you would want, it's a two RUs, resource units, and the charter's economy score goes down by one for basically the next season. And if you want to negotiate them down, you can.
Asher and Sky are all about community and improving others' lives. So if wages are what they need to be satisfied, I'm willing to give up other.
I'm not. I'm, I'm,
Would they really be willing to settle for a pizza party, though?
Yes, see if that will work first before we start spending REs.
Exactly.
I hope you understand that Viridian is in a very unique position. With the acquisition of Plostov, there is a lot of resources that are getting spread thinner and thinner as more and more people come to rely on Viridian and the safety and the, you know, competence that living here brings. So I agree that increased wages are needed. However, the proposed across-the-board method of distribution, I do take issue with. My counterproposal is this: a smaller wage increase now, and then a significantly larger one after the launches occur.
Is potentially possible we can talk about a tiered solution for pay with perhaps completion bonuses. Why don't you make me a diplomacy check first, Tyler? See if you can make friends with Gantry.
27?
Yeah. DC 25 here, I believe. Oh,
I had to roll a 15 to get there.
Yeah, they're indifferent, I believe, starting off here. But yeah, you chat them up and you know, between perhaps a session here, Gantry will let you know that, you know, he's given up a lot for his engineering career and had to give up a lot to move his family all the way out here to New Galarion, and this project is keeping him away from his offspring, from his partner. So he's, you know, hoping to get something out of it and be able to take some time off after this. And he says it's very similar for a lot of the other engineers. If someone else can make a engineering or physical science check, that he will acquiesce to kind of lesser pay routes as you add them up.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. Yeah. These folks here looks like they've got it on lock. Got a 26 from Asher, 37 from Redacted. Yeah, it seems like that is the least important one. And they also would accept like one RU for the next month and the single RU for the following one.
There you go.
Mostly because the next member of the union organization doesn't have money in mind. Made the Zaktar, the Kasothan kind of boss of the program, the head supervisor here. You've met with multiple times. She wears like fairly heavy work kind of clothing, heavy boots, green coveralls, but for the most part doesn't look like she gets her four elbows dirty. But she explains that the workers here have been putting in way too many long hours. There's some unchecked overtime that's not getting paid, and many days without any time off. So Maida really wants to secure reasonable working hours and schedules, as well as kind of no crunch time for the remainder of the build, which is not a monetary thing, doesn't involve any of that, but will push the timetable for Operation Sharpwing back an additional month, which will still make the window that was set out at the beginning of this project to complete all of the launches, but there'll be like no wiggle room. So like if this union discussion doesn't go well, then that will be kind of unlikely. But if you're able to settle things, that should still get everything to work. Do you want to try and talk her down? Are you okay agreeing to that? What do you think?
Asher and Sky will once again stick up for their interests and say that downtime is very important and community is very important, and perhaps we can institute a weekly yoga class in the mornings before they start their shifts.
I would like that very much. We had something similar aboard the Adari, my brothers and I, when we were auxiliary crew members there. It is very interesting. We have a very different culture of work on the ship, where we would work longer periods of time throughout the week, but we would have many more periods of rest in between work to make sure that our mental and physical fortitude was there to get our tasks done. It seems like the 8-hour, 12-hour, sometimes 16-hour shifts that the employees of Operation Sharp Wing are putting in have led to some breaking points. And that has been hard on both the workers and getting some projects done, as some folks have burnt out and their workloads have increased other employees' workloads. So I believe if we can set some rules in place, we can still hit the goals, and we can do so perhaps in a more safe manner.
I believe that rest is important, but we all understand the situation with the loaders, yes?
Yes, that set us back a few weeks, having to check all of the base code in our system.
And it is a common saying that if you're on time, you're late. Pushing the proposed deadline because of changes in the work schedule is frightening. If we push it back too far, we don't leave ourselves any room for further interruptions, unseen interruptions, then I'm afraid some things will get missed and our window of opportunity here will disappear. I imagine that workers' efforts up until this point will be even pushed further beyond the breaking point if all those efforts were suddenly wasted because we couldn't deliver on time. That will lead to greater frustration than some crunch hours. But I do think that the work hours that you've described are a bit excessive.
Mm-hmm. So what is it you would like to do?
I am proposing scheduled work hours and, as you said, more formal restraints on the amount of hours people can work in proportion to their rest times. However, as we get closer to the proposed revised launch date that you have provided, we need to reevaluate where we are at. And if we have to institute crunch time at that point, then I believe we should do so.
Can I ask a question of everyone that's at the table here? Does anybody have a wisdom score less than 10, lower than 10?
I do not.
Oh, wait. No.
I do.
Oh, Zilix. She seems to kind of have a chip on her shoulder for Zilix. Maybe you guys have not seen eye to eye in the past. And she looks over and she's like, I don't know if that can be done. Feel free to make a diplomacy check to improve her opinion of your party here. And anyone can aid Tyler as well.
I have a question.
She is unfriendly, though, to your party. So it's DC 30.
Can I dance for her?
Thanks, Alex.
We know that was going to come. I was about to say Gantry also had this, but he hates if anyone has an intelligence score lower than 10. So I'm guessing that's Jamfram. Does Jamfram have... Yeah. So Jam from not being here made that a sight easier.
Yeah. What if suddenly?
Oh, I just need an aid. I got to 28. I just need one person. I just need one person to help.
Becca, get on that table and strut.
I'm going to dance. I'm going to dance my heart out.
Yes, that's a success.
I did aid at least.
you show off the calisthenics that you can give to the employees. Yeah, so
once a week, she's like classes.
I can understand. Yes, I can understand where you're coming from, but I don't know if the workers that we represent will agree to those.
You would like to influence her to go back and try to convince the workers of this. Anyone at the table can make a culture or mysticism check to do so.
Mysticism check. That's interesting.
Yeah,
sure.
Just kind of. Yeah, that's a good one for you, right?
33. Yes.
Couple successes here. She will agree to like revisiting and taking a look and going back to folks there. The last member of the union organization here is the Shirin Kilka Nikto, who does explain that, well, he's kind of a very healthy looking Shirin. He's got baggy oversized clothes. He's got a very rotund, almost beetle like silhouette, and he's been pretty helpful to the project so far, but he explains,
Our recent long hours and fatigue have combined to create a very unsafe working environment here at the launch facility. Our chief goal in organizing for union representation here is to get
an improvement to our safety standards before there is an further injury. I have many safety concerns, and it will be slightly expensive and might take focus from some other projects to complete them. The concerns he is raising would cost 3 RUs and potentially reduce the charter's technology score by 1 for the next charter turn. And yeah, I don't think he hates if anyone has a low charisma score. So no problems there. But if you want to make a diplomacy check to be better friends with him, you can start off with that. Chat him up a little bit.
Chat him up? Oh, could someone else chat him up?
Oh, no.
Can I dance him up?
I will allow it.
I guess, yeah, let's see how that goes. And then I might level reroll this.
Yeah, no, this is a success. He's like, oh, this reminds me of the dancing back in Branoa. I was a safety inspector in the capital city there. And my last major engineering job was reconstruction of the Hualdi Dome after the swarm attacked. As he mentions this, he kind of like has a psychic emanation as his antennas twitch, and Rebecca Sky kind of like dances at the edges, feeling the fear in this Sheeran's kind of psychic voice.
I appreciate your trying to bring some levity to these proceedings, Escher. I appreciate it very, very much, but I have many safety concerns. Perhaps you all can go over some of them with me in greater detail.
If anybody wants to make a sense motive or medicine check
motive is my thing.
I can make a medicine check.
Hold on.
I get...
Oh, you've been sniped, Tyler. We've already got some medicine checks. A 19 from Rebecca, who can't stop rolling 19s and 20s this week.
No, this is why you can't allow operatives in your game.
Yeah, I was literally like, oh, I have a special ability because I'm themeless that I can get +2 to 1. And I was looking up to make sure I got the number right.
I'm
and
an
Rebecca
operative.
Just goes ahead and takes care of it.
Yes. If we can spend just a few more resource units on this project, I can divert folks away from other projects without lengthening the time here. And I believe that we will be in a good place, a good safe place to continue the project. At the end of a few hours of discussion with the team, they all shake your hands. They seem very happy with the discussions that they had here. Apparently this party's pretty good at union negotiations. Maybe we should have done the one in Plastov between the loggers and what have you. They, you know, go back to the workers outside kind of picketing and explain what's happened. And there's cheering that goes on. You see Brignosian Willowanth maybe like giving you like a Mentos thumbs up from across the fence as he reports on the discussions having a positive effect. And yeah, things get back to normal at Operation Sharpwing. I know you guys have been so invested in this book so far.
Asher and Sky are feeling really like they want to continue emboldening the crew. Can they help in some way? Can they go out there and, you know, assist in some of the work?
I mean, some of you have engineering skill, and it is getting towards the final month. If you want to stick around and put in some work in your free time instead of exploring colonial space, that's totally something you can do. And even if you don't have engineering skills, there's ways to, you know, work security or safety and things like that here on the site. So it's up to you guys. If you want to work alongside these folks, we can fast forward another month or so to, after a whole bunch of hard work, to the day that comes for the first satellite's launch of Operation Sharpwing, and a party in the command center with donuts. All kinds of donuts. You got Basco donuts, Sheeran donuts, Kathopin donuts. Indeed, there's just about everyone that's worked on this project, and including a ton of folk from Viridian, are here to celebrate the launch of Jan Vaughn's orbital system. You see out the main bay windows here, a massive tower supporting a rocket that stands over 300 feet tall, maybe a few
100 feet away from the command center bunker. Ezra and Shire, Kells Daedric, a ton of other colonial officials are here. And atop the rocket, you see the satellite in all its glory on kind of the nose cone. Maeda, the Kasothan, comes up to you all and is like, we've done it with your help. And fast forwarding through months of hard work, we've done it, folks. We are getting green signs across from the teams all over the facility here that we will begin an ignition soon. I just want to thank you all for your leadership in this time, for bringing in Dr. Vaughn, bringing in all these teams. Enjoy yourselves here. You've earned the fireworks show. I would say take a seat, maybe prepare yourselves. There's some good ones up front here. The blast windows is going to shield us, but it's still going to get a little bumpy here fairly shortly.
Congratulations to you as well. I will look forward to a successful launch. But you won't mind me. The last time I was in front of something, I died. So I'm going to hang back a bit on this one.
As you hang back, a microphone gets stuck in your face. Brignoshi and Willowan, Viridian One News. It took a lot to get this project off the ground, literally. But now that we're here at launch day, are you excited to see this bird get up in the air, Primarch Gradier?
Of course. This is the accumulation of all of Viridian's efforts. Everything that we've been able to accomplish up until this point will be punctuated with the launch of these satellites. It's not just a moment that I am very proud of. It's a moment that every Viridian citizen should be proud of.
Yeah, but who do you want to thank the most for this project? There's so many people that have gone into it over the course of the last few months. Who do you say is you owe the most to?
He sounds like he's fishing for a compliment.
Is it Viridian One News's number one rising 20-year-old anchor?
No, well, of course, I would be remiss not to mention Ezrin Shire, a major brainchild of the whole operation. Of course, their efforts on the initial ideas behind Project Sharpwing were, you know, of immense importance. Without them, this wouldn't have been able to happen.
Oh, shucks, guys. You shouldn't have. Well, I think you should think who's really the blame here. And well, I mean, it was my idea to bring her on board, you know, Dr. Jan Vaughn, our lead scientist here. You know, it was her whole idea for this entire facility and this launch. Looking around the room, auspiciously, it does seem like Dr. Jan Vaughn is the only face here that seems to be missing. She doesn't seem to be anywhere in the room.
Oh, well, Prater can go find her.
But yeah, I mean, you have comms, you want to reach out?
Not particularly. It feels like a just walk to her office sort of situation, but oh, sure. Okay. I'll
it's empty. She's not there.
Okay, upon finding an empty office, now I'll hail her.
You hear off in the distance, just like a retort, a twang, patwang, patwang. You get a emergency call on comms as you see what looks like Dr. Jan Vaughn crouching behind a piece of architecture. She's looking in the camera. She says, there's someone up here. She's speaking quietly, kind of looking over her shoulder where you can't see over the where the camera is hidden behind the architecture.
It seemed like they've hacked some of the security robots. I don't know what they're doing, but they might be trying to abort the launch or maybe reprogram it. You have to get out.
There's a static burst of blinding white light in the video feed for just a second before she comes back and says, you have to be careful and you have to be continued. More problems with Operation Sharpwing?
Yeah, I know there is. I want to die.
You know there is. Now it's going to be three of those autonomous robots you have to take out. Be prepared to get hit three times with the explosion.
I won't survive that.
That's going to do it for this week's episode, folks. Operation Sharpwing concludes next week, hopefully. If you survive.
Oh, man. I hope it concludes with the rocket launching, flipping around, and blowing up all of Viridian, and we get a game over screen.
I don't know if there's rules for, like, you guys getting caught in the rocket blast, but I might make some up if there's not. I think it's too fun. Excellent. Yeah, we're on countdown mode, I think, so.
Oh, right. That's going to do it, guys. Thank you for playing with me.
Well, thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick.
Listeners, thanks for listening. We'll get back into more of Book 4 next week. Until then, have a good week. We'll see you on the next Cosmic Crits.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye.
Cosmic Crit, the Starfinder role-playing game and adventure paths are trademarks of Paizo. All Pathfinder and Starfinder images are property of Paizo and are used with permission.